Hey everyone, welcome. Welcome to another episode of Navigating No Contact with Toxic Parents. I'm your host, Tracy Principe. If you are not in my Facebook group, please consider joining. There's a lot of support, we've got over 3,000 people in there, just wonderful support, community, and connection. It's the same name, Navigating No Contact with Toxic Parents on Facebook. If you would like to work with me one-on-one with somatic and nervous system work, feel free to go to my website, www.tracyprincipe.com, or send me an email, tracy@tracyprincipe.com. All right, so today's episode is the scapegoat. Are you the scapegoat? And I'm assuming that most of us are the scapegoat, since the scapegoat is the one that leaves the family system. But today I'm going to dive into what that all entails, because there's quite a bit involved in being the scapegoat. And again, just being a scapegoat itself, if you're being scapegoated, that is abuse. So scapegoat abuse, whether you're, you know, a child and it's still happening in adulthood, make no mistake, it is abuse. So I want to really dive into that today, because a lot of these wounds of the scapegoat child and again, the scapegoat adult, are invisible. So I really want to bring some clarity, bring some light and visibility to these invisible, often invisible wounds of the scapegoat child, the crazy making. So let's get started. Let's dive in. So what is the family scapegoat role, and how did that, you know, even come about, right? So if you're in the family scapegoat role, you probably felt rejected, maybe even bullied by a parent and maybe most likely siblings and maybe even other family members. So you would have probably not had words as a child, but you might have felt something, right? So something would have been off. You would have felt something. You were a target of something in your family, right? And again, it could have been very overt or more covert, right? So the covert is the more confusing, crazy making, although they both are, but the covert is a little bit more subtle, but nonetheless damaging. The overt is, you know, you would have been outright bullied. You would have been cast out. You would have been the target, overtly. Okay. So it's like being bullied on the playground, except the bullying is coming from your own parents and your own family. You probably had a lot of struggles and a lot of distress, and you couldn't understand why this was happening. There was nobody to talk to about it, right? So, now your family isn't necessarily, they're mostly doing this unconsciously, right? So they don't have the awareness to say, okay, I'm going to make this person the scapegoat and blame them for everything in the family. They're not consciously doing that. This is just a dysfunctional family system that is pretty similar across hundreds of people that I've worked with, thousands of people that I have in my community. It's, again, these dysfunctional family patterns are the same, with nuances, of course, across the board in dysfunctional families. Now, your parent, one of them or both of them, might be a narcissist. They might have narcissistic tendencies. That's very common. But even if they don't, it doesn't matter. The scapegoat is the scapegoat. Okay, that's how it works. So oftentimes you might be what's called an empath. You might consider yourself an empath or a highly sensitive person, HSP. Those more sensitive people are prone to being the scapegoat, right? It's like the vulnerable, wolf pup, or even in dogs, right? The weakest link is kind of cast out, right? That more sensitive one in humans, or that weaker one that wolves or other animals deem as that little one that gets cast out, right? And by no means does that mean you're weak. Absolutely not. You are some of the strongest people I know. And the scapegoat is a really hard role to be in. It's a really tough role to be in, because you're the brave, courageous one that has now probably as an adult said, hey, wait a minute, I'm not sweeping family secrets under the rug anymore. I'm not playing this game anymore. I'm not going to have smear campaigns. I'm done, right? So you're the one that's standing up saying I'm done. And in that process, I know most of you are probably not only losing a parent or parents, but your siblings, cousins, aunts, uncles, the whole damn entire family system, which is often what happens when you speak up for yourself and you start shaking the cage, rattling the cage of dysfunctional families. And that's very, very extremely threatening. And so you're doing that brave work, and scapegoats are the only ones that are going to be able to break these generational cycles. Nobody else can do it, because it takes standing up for yourself, standing up for what you believe in, and saying no more at the cost of losing your entire family. And this is a messed up thing in society. A messed up thing. It seems to be worldwide, because I have people in my Facebook group, community members from all over the world. It seems to be like a worldwide thing. Generational trauma. You're the only one that's going to break that. So that's huge. So give yourself some grace. Give yourself some compassion there. It is not easy. All right. So the family problems are being projected onto you, right? So all the family guilt, frustration, shame, anger is being directed and projected onto you. Shaming, blaming, all everything as a child, right? Everything is being put on you. Okay. And again, it's not conscious. It's just the way dysfunctional family works. Somebody has to take the blame for all the dysfunction in the family. That way, your parents can stay in their comfort zone, right? They can stay being unaccountable. They can stay not acknowledging anything. They can stay sweeping it under the rug and keeping those family secrets and just passing it down with no awareness, no accountability, no change whatsoever. And the sad part is they're often getting your siblings involved and teaching them this, you know. So this is often what I see, is that siblings... those siblings can do no wrong. I'll give you a couple of examples directly from some of my clients. So that scapegoat could look like, one of my clients was like a straight A student, athlete, all the things, you know, perfect. And the other siblings needed more help with their homework, or they weren't as motivated, or whatever it was. And the parent would make excuses. And then that strong person, quote unquote, strong person, didn't need anything. They didn't need anything. So the parent would say, you're fine. You don't need anything. You don't have any problems. You know how your sister is. You know how your brother is. They need more help, right? They're not as smart as you. They're not as good at sports as you. They're not as independent as you are. Yet, that star athlete, that straight A student was hurting inside, because they also had that put on them that they have to be strong and they can't show any other emotions. They can't ask for help. They can only be a straight A student and be good at sports. And that's a tremendous amount of pressure, right? So that's one example. Another example would be maybe you're the older sibling and you had to take care of your younger siblings, and then you got blamed for not taking care of your younger siblings. Oh, well, so-and-so fell off the table and hit his head, and why weren't you watching him? Because you were a child that shouldn't have had that responsibility placed on you. Right? So you took care of your younger siblings, yet you were a child taking care of other children, and you got blamed if they got hurt. That's another example. Okay. So those are some examples. Let me give you another example. Another example would be that your siblings could do no wrong, right? So they could do no wrong, and they didn't get in trouble, but you did. So you got in trouble if you, didn't do your chores, left your homework and your backpack out, and you got in trouble. And you even got in trouble for when your sibling clearly did something, you got in trouble for it. Yet when your sibling did the same thing, they didn't get in trouble, right? So those kinds of clients often describe it as this extreme unfairness, right? Extreme unfairness. And when they went to try to express themselves about that unfairness, they got shut down. They got shut down, and they learned that they could not express how they were feeling, right? So that anger gets suppressed, and oftentimes they have internalized that anger so much that it becomes that inner critic, an inner critic that is very, very judgmental and shameful and, negative, right? So it can look like that. So in those examples, that is, as a child, you were a victim of abuse and neglect. But nobody's recognizing that as a form of abuse on the ACEs score, right? Were you the scapegoat? That should be a question on the ACEs quiz, right? So you don't go to therapy saying, hey, I was the scapegoat. So those kind of behaviors, are lead to this sense of self that is just really, really dehumanizing, right? And oftentimes nobody has your back. Nobody has your back because your siblings side with your parents. Your parents are teaching your siblings that you're bad. You're always in the wrong. It's always your fault. And your siblings learn that, hey, if, you know, I can do this, all these things and not get in trouble, and you're going to get blamed. And if your parents are out there saying, hey, you're crazy, you're bad, you're no good, your siblings are just parroting what they've learned from your parents, right? And that's the sad thing, because in order to stay safe and be part of the family unit, your siblings most likely will side with your parents, right? Because that's their safety. They're going to go along with that. They're not going to come to your defense. So this is another question my clients ask me a lot. Well, how come a sibling didn't come to my defense? I'm really angry and sad that is, you know, my brother or my sister that I thought we had a good relationship, I thought we were close, never came to my defense. And then often in adulthood, they still aren't coming to your defense. And so clients will often just be really distraught over the fact that, again, even as an adult, their sibling isn't coming to their defense. Nobody has my back. I feel totally unsupported, lost, lonely, right? All really valid feelings. And unfortunately, even as adults, those siblings are going to side with the parents. They've got to stay in that dysfunctional system because that's how they stay safe, and also how they don't acknowledge anything that really happened to them, right? Okay, usually how it works. A sibling could maybe break free from that. Is it possible? Yeah, but their journey is not going to look like yours. Time, you know, different, just everything involved in that, it's just not gonna look like that. And again, you cannot save your sibling. You can't. And that hurts, especially if you actually were responsible for your siblings and had a hand in raising them. You were programmed for that already, right? So your parents are projecting their crap onto you, and it's their own unhealed trauma, their own, the parts of themselves that they're rejecting, that they hate about themselves, that they, all that self-loathing, everything that they dislike about themselves, that they somehow maybe see in you, it's all projection of their unhealed crap, and it has nothing to do with you. They just need a person to project it onto, right? And they most likely have personality disorders that they can't see this at all. Okay, so you've probably been conditioned to believe that you're broken, faulty, defective, crazy, and that you are not worthy of love. You're not worthy of inclusion into a family system. The rejection is very painful, and that's a big wound, the abandonment and rejection wound, and the shame of being, you know, that ostracized person is very, very deep, very deep. And then if you have other abuses on top of that, it's really, really hurtful. This is, you know, again, systemic abuse within your family, complex trauma from, you know, childhood into adulthood. And let me say this, you don't have to forgive your parents. You don't have to forgive your siblings. That needs to come if and when it's not necessary for healing, and it comes organically after you have worked through the layers of anger and shame and guilt and loss, right? So now this scapegoat role typically does not change when you become an adult. You are still the scapegoat. And usually when you decide to leave the family, whatever point, you know, you decide as an adult to leave the family, you most likely will have a smear campaign against you. This is, again, really, really common in almost all of my clients. The parents and other family members, the parents will play the victims. They will, so some things, it looks like, you know, they go around telling everybody, family members, town, church, whatever, they don't understand why you're not talking to them. You don't, you know, they don't know what they did to deserve such horrendous treatment. You're a terrible, bad person. You know, you're abusive, you're crazy, you're mentally ill, mentally unstable. That's a common one because, again, they use that. You know, there's already such a stigma around that. They might be saying that you're a drug addict or, you know, alcoholic or whatever. Again, the stigmas around that still in society, people tend to side with parents, even, again, other family members. And when I ask my clients, did anybody come to you and ask you how you felt or ask you your side, what happened? And every single person, there has not been one client or person in my community that said, yes, somebody came to me and asked me what happened. It rarely happens. And so that is like trauma on top of trauma. You leave your family, extended family, friends, you know, whoever, nobody comes to you to say, hey, what happened? Do you mind, you know, how, you know, do you want to share? Can we talk about this? Unless they're a flying monkey and they're trying to get information from you to feed back to your parents, right? Which is a very big difference between somebody genuinely being concerned and asking you, you know, how you're feeling, what happened, genuinely being concerned. And you might not be able to tell the difference, but you can assume that if it's a family member or somebody that has been sent by your parents, they are not actually concerned. They are only trying to get information to fuel the flames, to fuel the fire, right? But when I ask clients, was there anybody that genuinely came concerned to ask you how you felt or ask you what happened because they were concerned and they wanted to understand? They genuinely wanted to understand what happened, right? That answer is no. Are there people coming out of the woodwork so that they can fuel that fire? Flying monkeys? Yes. Big difference, right? And if there's any question you're not sure, you are not obligated to divulge anything. You can just say, I really don't want to talk about that right now. Maybe at some point down the road. And then you see somebody that's concerned will still talk to you, right? Somebody that's a flying monkey will only be trying to get information. Okay. So the smear campaigns, those can be pretty ugly. They can get pretty ugly, and it's horrendously hurtful. But again, your parents are so dysfunctional and so wounded themselves that they have to go to great lengths to secure this dysfunctional family system. They can't have any cracks. They can't. Especially if you have parents that are really into image, right? So they've got to hold up their image. They live that double personality, double life kind of thing. Great image on the outside, horrendous on the inside, right? That's very common because that's easy to do. Look at me, I'm great. I dress nice. I have a nice car and whatever. You know, those outside things in society, again, doesn't mean you're a good person or that you have, you know, your head on straight, right? So unfortunately, if they have that image, the way our society is in Western culture, at least, is that that image is everything. Oh, they must be a good person, right? Doesn't make it so. So that's really big in the family, you know, the image kind of thing, so that they're believed, they keep their image, they keep their front, their facade, right, their facade, and you look like the crazy one, okay? Very, very manipulative. Little do people know, they're also being manipulated, right? So flying monkeys are also being manipulated. All these other people are also being manipulated. So it's a whole system that is so dysfunctional, so toxic. So oftentimes, you know, again, the scapegoat carries so much shame and fear, even not being believed, being viewed as crazy, being viewed as, you know, the bad person, being viewed as the problem, being viewed, you know, you are the problem, you're the cause of all of this. But of course that's not true. Of course it's not true. Okay? So you got denied your own value, your worth, your feelings, your opinion, right? So you're most likely going to feel very disconnected, very unsafe, very disassociated, very even hopeless, and maybe even suicidal as an adult, right? You're probably going to have complex PTSD. This is complex trauma. So you might have, you know, the hypervigilance, the nightmares, anxiety, panic attacks, you know, sleep disturbances. You're going to have a really hard time trusting other people, most likely, right? You're going to really struggle with secure attachment in romantic and intimate relationships, right? And this was all true for me. Addictions, alcoholism, okay? Big with the scapegoat, because just that hole, it's left a hole. It's left confusion. There's often not words, again, often not words for what happened to you. And then who do you even tell? Again, we live in this society that maybe even some therapists or counselors or clergy or, you know, teachers or whoever, they have this bias to side with parents. So, again, going out in the world and telling people this could be creating more isolation, more loneliness, and even secondary trauma, because we don't live in a society that says, oh, I'm really sorry about that, what happened, or whatever. No, we have a society that says, hey, that's your parents, go forgive them, go try to fix it, you got to try harder, you only have one mother, what are you going to do when they die? All of those things that, again, they're not doing it intentionally, they just don't know. And so that can be really hurtful. And what we tend to do is just keep it inside, right? That's why my community is so great, because we can just have that safe container, a safer container where we can express freely, yeah, you know what, I freaking hate my parents, or whatever it is. We can freely express that in the group, and nobody's gonna be shocked by that. Nobody's gonna be like, oh my gosh, you have to, you know, do everything you can to fix the relationship. No, that you don't. You actually are not responsible for any of it, and it can't be changed, unfortunately. I've never seen any parent change that dynamic, that behavior. Rare. It's really rare. They will fight to the death to hold on to this dysfunction so that they never, ever, ever have to be accountable for anything. They never have to change. They never have to address their own trauma. And it's super frustrating. And clients will often ask me, why? Like, why wouldn't it be simpler to just say, hey, yeah, I made these mistakes, and I'm gonna, you know, get some help, and I want to fix this. You'd think that would be easy for somebody to do, but it's not. They have personality disorders. They're not able to do that. They don't have the capacity for it. They don't have the awareness, the consciousness. They just cannot do it. And so that most likely will never, your scapegoat role will never change. You'll always be the scapegoat. So, let me share with you. When I was a child, I didn't have words. I mean, I grew up in the 70s, so there was no internet, right? And there was no I had never heard that word, scapegoat. I had heard of black sheep, and I think when I was more of a young adult, maybe, you know, I would joke around and say, yeah, I'm the black sheep. I was an only child. So if you're an only child and you're the scapegoat, because there is nobody else, that's going to feel really, really bad. Because there's no other siblings around, right? It's just you. You're the scapegoat, and there's nobody to validate or invalidate your experience. You are really taking full weight of the family system on your shoulders, right? Okay, so again, that scapegoat role, you're gonna be gaslit, and we didn't have those words in the 70s either. Gaslighting, the manipulation. Right? It's going to be heavy day in and day out all the time. Okay. You're going to be treated very, very differently than your siblings. And you might have noticed that growing up, even if you didn't have words for it, you would have noticed that. Okay. And your emotional needs would have been squashed, totally squashed. You might have even been invisible. And that would have been the more covert, right? So you might have even had a sense as a child that your parent, one or both of them, didn't like you very much, right? Didn't like you. Okay? I felt that for sure. Okay? So again, even if you weren't told necessarily that more covert, you would have felt it. You would have felt something, right? You would have felt bad, felt defective, felt not good enough. Again, oftentimes these are feelings. We didn't really have language. It was very confusing, very, very, very confusing, right? You probably felt, you know, like you had to defend yourself, prove yourself to be worthy. And that's really going to show up in adulthood and relationships, right? Or maybe you're working to prove yourself. And maybe they said things like, oh, you should be more like your brother. You should be more like your sister, right? Why can't you be like that? Okay. Walking on eggshells, right? Big one. And then even worse, maybe you were actually bullied outside of the home too. And that, you know, you wouldn't have been able to confide in your parents about that. Okay. And maybe one of your parents is a scapegoat in their family, right? That's entirely possible. Okay. And so, and really always going back to, how do you feel now? What's your present relation? What are your present and current relationships like, right? So what's showing up and really getting honest with yourself? What's going on in your body? Coping mechanisms, symptoms, you know, bodily symptoms, right? Coping strategies, okay? Anger outbursts, right? Anxiety, depression. You're going to have maybe fighting for, you might have, you know, something that you feel really passionate about that you fight for, right? That unfairness, that's a big one that shows up, right? So can you trust others? Can you trust yourself? Do you struggle to find a sense of purpose within yourself? Do you struggle with knowing who you are, what your needs are, right? So you would not have had, you know, any needs. So it's going to be really hard to know what your needs even are. And, you know, you might be a people pleaser just to stay in that type of relationship dynamic. And you're probably going to be ignoring your own self-care and your own needs in favor of others, right? Or you might be the overachiever, workaholic, do everything right. Okay? You might tend on that side. All of these are trauma responses to trauma. You might feel really burned out and exhausted and overwhelmed all the time. And again, that's that nervous system dysregulation. Okay? So, and what's happening with your siblings currently? What is your relationships with your siblings, right? And are you, or even your parents, and how's that showing up? And are you still covering things up, or sweeping things under the rug to kind of try to get back in that family unit, right? And that's going to be very emotionally draining, taxing, overwhelming on your physical and emotional and mental health. Most people in my group and who I work with, that is kind of the straw that breaks the camel's back, is that they've been trying their, and this was true for me, trying so hard their entire lives, and then they realize, you know what, it doesn't matter what the hell I do, it's never going to be good enough, right? Because you're always going to be the scapegoat. So it will never, ever be good enough. And you can exhaust yourself and pretty much destroy yourself trying to be good enough in their eyes, right? And they're just never, ever going to acknowledge that. They can't, because you have to stay the scapegoat. If they acknowledge something, that means that their whole world would start to tumble and crumble down, right? Yeah. So, heavy price to pay. Heavy price to pay. Tread lightly. Have some grace and compassion for yourself. None of this was your fault. This started way before you were ever born. Like I always say, started way before you ever came along. And they're still trying to pass down this family dysfunction. You're the only one that can break this cycle for yourself, for your children, you know, for your relationships, because you deserve it. You deserve to have some peace, to have some joy, to have some happiness, and have more fulfilling relationships. You deserve to have a regulated nervous system, right? You deserve to be regulated and calm and at peace in your body and feeling that as a felt sense in your body, right? You deserve that. Okay, that's it for today's podcast. Hopefully you found that helpful. And here's to all the scapegoats staying together, standing strong. All right, take care. We'll see you on the next episode.